pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Would you like to welcome our new guest tonight? Even if it's temporary, we're happy to have you here.
In training.
You vote for Steve.
Thank you for coming.
Is he not coming?
She's gonna be late.
Board of Supervisors, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, provided adequate notice of the time, date, and location of this meeting. This is new. To the Asbury Park Press and the Link News on January 19th, 2021. Notice, filed notice with the borough clerk and posted notice on the borough office and the borough website. This meeting is open to the public and you're all welcome, and welcome everybody. We have a roll call, please.
Ms. Bills?
Here.
Mr. Cashmore? Chairman Cunningham?
Here.
Mr. DeJulio?
Here.
Vice Chairman DeSale?
Here.
Ms. Gorman?
Here.
Mayor Kelly? Councilman Lexstein?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Yes, here.
Mr. Schwartz?
Here.
Thank you. On to the minutes from July 13th, 21. Any discussion or motion?
Make a motion if they're accepted.
Thank you. Second?
Chairman Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. DeJulio?
Yes.
Mr. DeSale?
Dave?
I can't. He's taking so long.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
And Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
On to memorialization of the resolution for Mountain View Villas. Application 2020-10, extension of approvals.
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution.
I'll second that to move it along, and could we have a roll call?
Mr. Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. DeJulio?
Yes.
Mr. DeSale?
Yes.
Ms. Gorman?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
On to Surfside Marine Corporation. Welcome. Happy to have you here.
Mr. Chairman.
Some familiar faces.
Mr. Chair, let the record reflect that notice has been received. It was reviewed for last meeting. It is approved as of this meeting. The board can accept jurisdiction.
Thank you. What a view.
Mr. Asadi, welcome.
Good to see you.
Thank you. Much happier time.
We're in a new room. Since the last time I saw you, my seats have gotten a little tighter. The building's gotten nicer. The view is definitely better.
Good for you. My suit's better.
Thank you for hearing this evening. We are here on behalf of Surfside Marina. It's 1306 Ocean Avenue. The application is to demolish an existing structure and replace it with a new structure. I believe there are no variances or waivers being requested or sought this evening. It's just a pure site plan application. And I plan to call two witnesses this evening. One is Kevin Settembrino of Settembrino Architects, who is our project architect, and Jacqueline Floor of Ingenuity, who is the project engineer. We also have with us the owners and operators of Surfside Marina, Chris Stokes and Chip Schultz, who can answer any questions that the board may have concerning operations should they arise. So, without further ado, I would like to call my first witness, Kevin Settembrino.
Carlos, thank you.
Nothing but the truth for purposes of this application, sir?
I do.
Can you please give the chair your call?
Sure. Kevin Sembrio, I'm a licensed architect in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. I have a Bachelor of Architecture degree from Carnegie Mellon University, and I've testified before several planning boards in the state of New Jersey.
Is there any objection from board members?
We will accept it for their good sake.
Okay. Kevin, were you asked to design the building to replace the existing building in 1306 Ocean Ave?
Yes, I was.
And do you have materials to show the board about your design?
We have plans and elevations to review before the board.
Could you set up the tripod? Are these are the exact same plans that were submitted with the application package, or is this something new?
These are the plan with elevations submitted with the application package. All of the elevation heights that were on the building section that was submitted now been added to the building elevation for ease of review.
So why don't we mark this as a new exhibit? I don't know where you're up to.
Well, typically what I do is I take the exhibits as they are listed on the application and move them over to the resolution, but we can start with one here because those will be grouped in.
I'll note which ones that we've transcribed information to. We haven't changed any information from the building section. You already have that. We just added the elevations for again, ease of review.
Excellent. Can you just give me the page number that you're referring to as Exhibit A?
Sure. It's, you want to mark this as A?
So we're going to go page by page and mark by page?
Are we going to use the entire plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so why don't we mark the entire thing as Exhibit A, and then you can designate the page number to go through.
Sure, that'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, please proceed.
Great, thank you.
You all let the board know what?
So there are things?
Where the changes were.
Sure, there were no changes. They were just added information that was already on sheet to other sheets. I'll go through when I get
there. Are we just made notes on this version that were not on the one that was submitted? That's all.
Yep. Okay. So, as Mr. Sadi did mention,
when there it is.
Well, that's sorry. You can't even see things.
I can hear it.
It should be done when we're done.
I was going to say, I'll just approve your application.
So, when the Surfside Marine came to us, they had intentions of demolishing the existing building that's there and replacing it with a building of similar size. However, one that was more appropriately located without any variance or any requests. So obviously, our civil engineer was satisfied with the relocated on site, so we're not asking for any relief from the ordinance. So this building is a two-inch story. I'll go through the elevation in a moment. This is the first floor plan. To the left-hand side, and we'll talk about the site plan, the next left-hand side you see an at-grade workshop for the boats. So one module at a time will come in an at-grade workshop and be serviced. There is a large overhead door facing the water. There is a small overhead door here on the side of the building. And similarly, on this lower level, which is an at-grade level, there is a storage space as well. And then there is two sets of stairs, or one set of stairs that will get you up to the elevated first floor office. And the second set of stairs at the front of the building, which will get you up to a second floor residence. Or apartments,
single family residence.
It's an apartment. Exactly the use that's there, we are replicating that use. We're not creating
multiple apartments.
You just
right. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
just one.
Well, what's important about this plan is that this is this area is a workshop. This is storage. So we know that the DFV is.
Wasn't there a residence down below as well?
No residence below. No, just currently it's a workshop and office. At grade level. So we're repeating that.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. So I seem to remember somebody lived down there.
Long time ago.
It was considered a fly trap.
But unless somebody's living in storage, there's no living quarters on the land. What's important is we know that the BFP or base flood elevation is 8 video. And what's important is that we actually get this to the next level. We will be, our finished floor level for the office will be at 13 as a DFD, and I know you only require 3 feet above the knee to put it in. So any questions as to what's on the ground level before we move on? The building is about 65 feet.
Would you flip the page, just say for the record what page number?
Sure, this is 8-101. Again, the building's footprint does not change. As we move up in elevation, the building footprint does not change. It's, again, a 60-by-30 building. This is a second-story height of the workshop. These boats are fairly tall, right? So we'll show it to you in section in a moment. Second story of the workshop. And as you come up those stairs on the side elevation, you will come up to the office. It does overlook the workshop. The finished floor of the office is at a DFV of 13. And as I mentioned, your DFV is 8. So 3 feet above it is 11. So we're actually at 13. And we say, well, are we waiting for an extra big wave? And the answer is no. We wanted to make certain that the owner can utilize the space underneath the office for storage, so we did move up a little bit more. As we did so, that DFV became quite substantive, so we made sure it's well above the DFV of 11. Okay, so it's a 13. This is an 8. This is a 13 finished floor. And there's offices for two users here, two desks, and one toilet here. And again, this is the second story height of that workshop. Again, the footprint did not change. About 60 by 30. All right, this is drawing 8-102. As you move up to what we're referring to as the loft level, that lower level stair was only to get you to the elevated office level at DFD 13. This is the loft level, which has a sitting area, one sitting area. It's kind of like it's living quarters here. This is the bathroom, tub, sink, toilet, and these are the stairs in the front that now get you up to that floor. So that first, the stairs that were here only got you up to the office. The stairs in front of the building are exclusive to the loft part. Any questions on that floor? And the footprint didn't change, still 60 by 30. As we move up to the roof deck, can you let us start? This is page 8-103. As we move up to the roof deck, this is not another living level. It is an upper level, upper volume living area. So there's not additional floor, but just a double height space, similar to what we have here. Right. Similarly, there is an exterior roof deck accessible through a spiral stair only from the apartment quarters. And then you see a viewing deck that's bounded on both sides by the pitch roof. You'll see the pink is the pitch roof.
Within the pitch roof?
Yes. Yeah, so it's actually the vertical portion of the pitch roof, highest portion of the pitch roof, as you'll see in the section in a moment, does create the majority of the larger height of 32 inches of
height. Oh, understood. It looks like a metal roof to your plans.
So this is the roof plan itself. This is 8-104. This is the roof plan. This is the deck. So this is the entire roof. And the viewing deck is set below that roof. It's like within the roof. This is 8-105. Here are the elevations. To the left, we have the west elevation. This is a large overhead door with the boat service. You'll see masonry at the base and with CMU block. Here, the blue is plaster and painted masonry. Okay? What you see here is a translucent panel. It's a cowl panel, so you cannot see through it. If it's lighted inside, it will glow, similar to a beacon, but you can't see through it. Right? And it's a translucent panel.
And here is the roof deck, so you can see that the, see where the person is standing, the top of the roof deck really forms that 42 inches, the guardrail height above the finished deck, so kind of hidden that roof deck. And you can immediately see it from one side. And then we do have a little bit of a sailcloth.
That's the west elevation you said?
This is the west elevation, that's correct.
Right. So the roof deck faces straight to the river?
That's correct, yes.
Not the condos or not the neighbors.
So, you know, usually people are taller than 42 inches, so they'll be able to see in three directions, but the majority of the sight line is towards the west. So, this is the opposite elevation, or this is the front elevation of the building. You see the entry doors for the residents above. These doors only go to that residence above. These doors do not go to the office. We don't go to the workshop. You will see it at the window, again, to the residents there as well, and then the metal roof. Okay? So these elevations are kind of mirror images of each other, right? But just one is the service side and one is the street side, right? Highway side, service side. We kept the materials consistent throughout. This is A-106. This is the south elevation. Again, all the materials are the same. Here is the top of the roof deck. The roof deck is actually down here. Right? So the roof is here. Roof deck is here. The top of the building is at 35 feet above finished grade to the ridge line, which is within your building envelope and within your ordinance. And again, we do have a side entrance here for the office. This is the overhead door for the entrance into the workshop. And again, these are some windows at the workshop. They're high windows. We're not looking for you to see out. We're just looking to get some light in there. Similarly, the central band is a translucent capable panel. So if it is lighted, it will have a glow to it, but you can't see through it, you can't see out of it. This is A-107. North elevation, again, a little bit more of the, so similarly, more of the same. All of the material, after all the way around the building, they don't change. The roof is the same once you circle around the building. And again, the translucent panels at the same band all the way around the building. So kind of think of it in three slices, and you see that wrap itself all the way around the building. So as I've been describing, and this may help a little more, this is A-108. As I've been describing, this is a long section of the building. You can see that the workshop is a multi-height space. You can see the storage below. You can see the office at an elevated height above the workshop, and then the loft above that. This is the section between the interior of the roof, and then you see the roof deck that sits above the workshop. So if when you're looking at the plans, this kind of helps you understand how those sit, how they get stacked up on the other. This is A-109. This is our final planning for the evening. This shows a section in the other direction. That shows the double height workshop. The two type section in the short direction on the west side. This shows a section, if we cut a section towards the building, you see the elevated office, you see the storage at grade, you see the stairs up to the office, and then the loft level here. This workshop is a continuation of the workshop here at the at grade level. And again, the ridge height of the building is within your ordinance at 35 feet above finished grade. The building is 60 by 30. The dimensions of the floor plans do not change. This is always a double height space, and our first occupiable space with regard to the office is at a DFE of 13, and your BFE here is 8. So it's substantively above your BFE. Any questions with regard to the building envelope or the height? And again, just within the ordinance, we're not seeking any variances or any waivers or any relief. Just want to see if you have any questions with regard to.
Any board members have a question?
I have just one question. You said there's going to be translucent panels around the building?
Yes.
You said they're going to be lighted?
No. The panels themselves
are... Oh, okay. I thought you were backlighting or something.
No. The panels are... Well, the product is a cowl panel. It is translucent, they won't be backlit, but if there are lights on inside, you'll just see it glowing as if, but yeah.
It sounded like there were more to let light in.
Well, yes, they do an excellent job of letting light in, letting natural daylight in without using, artificial lighting, so they do both. Yes.
I have a question.
Sure.
So maybe I just, so the, to get into that office, there's a stairway?
Yes.
And it only goes to that office, doesn't go to the apartment?
Correct.
And to get to the apartment, there's a staircase that goes from the front of the building straight up?
You are correct.
So, and is there another way to get out if there was a fire? Apartment, go out to the roof.
Yeah, so there's one stair here that gets to the law. This stair only gets you up to the elevated office, so the stair is in and out. But there's only one stair to the office, and then there's one stair to the law. There's only one egress from the.
So it's like five runways of stairs.
Right. Now occupancy is fairly low. Typically, you need more than 50 persons to require two egress. So since the occupancy is less than the threshold for two egress, one means egress is adequate to achieve that.
Parking, there's no striping?
For the site plan?
Yes.
But if it's all right, Council, I'll let the civil engineer review the parking.
Okay.
Just the glow, just a nice component.
Yep.
It would attract, I'm looking at from like the needle eye view. Sure. What would affect any residents if there's trees or constantly?
Oh, no, we're talking about glow. It's only if the owners are working on 2 o'clock in the morning or so, something like that. So it's they won't be backlit. So if there are lights on the side, you will see. You won't see the light itself, but you will see that something is lighted, and it's fairly faint. But when I talk about a glow, these panels again, they are translucent. They're more for letting the light in without artificial light. The product is called Kalwall, KALWALL. If you wanted to look it up, you can look at it pretty quickly on the website.
Is this going to be owner-occupied or is it going to be rented?
I think I'll defer the question back to the council.
The applicant doesn't yet have, are you talking about the residential unit?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't have a tenant lined up.
But will be a tenant.
It may be a tenant, or it could be. Or the
owner. We have vehicles if they're not occupied. So that's going to be an issue. It's what's existing.
Yeah, the existing, we reserve the right, and we want to reserve the right to have a tenant.
I have no further questions. Anybody else on the board? Is there anyone in the public that has a question about the witness's testimony? If not, public course is closed. We have another witness, Mr. Assembly?
Yes, Jack McFlure, Andrew Woody.
We're really going to have to hear what she
wants. Yeah, that's going to take a while.
Ms. Flurry, you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth for purposes of application?
Yes, I do.
Can you state your name and your address?
Sure. My name is Jacqueline Flore. That's F-L-O-R. I'm a professional engineer, professional planner in New Jersey. I've been licensed since 2005.
We can accept her as an expert.
We can't
do that. I'm here in the Well, Jackie, and without any objection from any other board members, I think Mark was trying to shut you off. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. So I know Kevin already walked and went through the site, but I was just going to, from an engineering standpoint, just orient you. I know you're all familiar with the site. This first exhibit is an existing condition plan. It's already been marked, correct?
Yes.
So we're going to call it A1.
Just refer to the page number and I will.
Okay. So this is sheet 207. This is an aerial of the site. As you can see, it's currently a marina. There's no change in use. Everything that is being proposed is the same as it in the existing condition. You can see it's on Ocean Avenue. It's across from Trade Winds Lane. On Ocean Avenue, it has 150 feet of frontage. Currently, I heard the question, it's currently a gravel lot. The applicant would like to leave it a gravel lot. We can talk about how that functions. Right now, the way that it functions in the wintertime, and we'll go to the next sheet. So, start with the winter. In the wintertime, in the off-season, some people in the room might own marinas and are familiar with the fact that in the wintertime, all the boats come out of the water and they are stored on the site. So you see in the off season, we have room for boat storage. Not a lot of visitors that come in the off season, so the boats are stored on the site. If you look through our site plans, we show where that boat storage is. It's a gravel lot. And so at that time, we show where the parking could fit because we spoke to the owner and this is where they traditionally park the stored boats. This is where the parking could fit, but no, it's not striped because it's a gravel lot. You can stripe gravel, but in this case, this is different than the public parking lot where you used to stripe it. Because of the fact that with these big boats moving around, I don't think that the striping would stay. It would be knocked around in no time.
So my only concern asking that question was concerned about the tenants. And you need two parking spaces for the tenants. I want to make sure the tenants have this park.
I think it's a great thing to do anyway.
Yes. Well, they do. They have handicap spaces also. So I don't know how that's going to work there.
So right along the side of the building, in the existing condition, let me just turn back for a second. In the existing condition, you'll notice that there's already an existing apron, and you can see where there's parking now, right along the front of the building. We are proposing to change that, and in fact, because of the ADA spaces being placed where they are being placed, it's going to further define this as parking. Because these first two ADA spaces will be asphalt.
Okay, so they will be striped and designated.
Actually, it's not asphalt. They're going to be concrete.
Okay.
Because we have no reason to bring a small batch of asphalt in. It's all going to be concrete for the sidewalk. So it's going to be concrete. But that's going to already define, and those are going to be striped. So it will define where the parking starts. And so even though these will be gravel, I think it will be better defined, and that's going to be only deep enough for cars because of where the apron is, so you're not going to have boats trying to maneuver in
there. Can you do so? Is it going to be concrete that entire strip there, or
just for the ADA? Yeah, the rest of
the store and give the tenants two spaces. To me, it just seems that they're going to be adding two tenants to the place, which have a definitive place for the park. And so you have two ADA spaces and then two reserved for the tenant spaces.
Can I just check with the applicant if they're okay with that? Be okay increasing by two spaces for the
one. Who's the second tenant?
Yeah, it's two. You know, it's two
spaces.
So I guess what the applicant was explaining is they can really park anywhere.
Yeah, but that's the problem is that should the tenant really have to park anywhere and move around boats and whatever the case may be. The other thing is if they
have specified.
Yeah, if you just have a specified space for them, they can go home easily. They don't have to park at the edge of the parking lot and then walk. You know, move around boats to get home. Instead of just have two spaces right next to them, they can have
two tenant spaces.
On the concrete.
Mark was designating them when we signed up here rather than paving the tenant spaces, just designating them by signage.
We will put the access to the overhead door.
The
entrance was on the east side,
Remind me of that, please.
It is.
So basically what we'll do is we'll add additional, we'll make sure not to block any overhead doors with the parking, but we'll make sure that we add an additional two spaces with apron as well, and we'll strike those in that.
Thank you. And we put signs just that.
Signs?
Okay. Just so that everyone knows, those are the two dedicated to the tenants.
Perfect. We'll do that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I can just say something. It's a good idea to put the concrete there. That second space is very wide. Is that for a door entrance? Is that why it's so wide?
Yes, it is.
Is it a door that you need to travel to by using a forklift or anything? Or can it just be, can you just change the spaces to 2 9-foot spaces?
It's a roll-up door?
It is a roll-up door.
Yeah.
So you need that width there.
Forklift.
So you can't use the second space for the tenants. You'd have to do the first and the third, or the third and the fourth.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
That would separate, so then that separates it.
Yes.
That's by about, 12 feet or something.
As long as they have a space that's designated near the building that can quickly get home, and they don't have to, move around a lot. That was my concern.
Can you move that overhead door down 8 feet?
So you can put two.
Yeah, I'll do that. Which door are we talking about?
Is there a door on the side of the building that has an opening to a very large parking space adjacent to the south side?
It's not a forklift access. Basically, we get little carts and small equipment in and out. It won't be any heavy machinery. It's basically pedestrians or carts.
Maybe we should swear everybody.
I think it's time to swear everybody.
Listen, I don't care if they get the space in there for the door. I just want to make sure there are going to be spaces for the tenants.
And there won't be any forklift access through that door.
No.
So
only forklift access is the rear of the building.
Okay, but I guess what I'm saying is that what's going to happen if Mark, if your suggestion is taken, there'll be the two spaces on concrete, there'll be the handicap spaces, then there's going to be a space of probably stone.
Okay.
12 feet or so wide, and then after that would be two more spaces, probably concrete, with either striking or signs next to
the
same tenant parking.
Move the door.
I don't know, or you just move the door. I don't know if that's possible.
So, Mr. Chairman, what we can do, if it's okay with you, is we can work with the borough engineer and determine if it makes sense to move the door, we will. If not, we'll just extend the apron across it.
So your suggestion is make sure there's two parking spaces against the building
for the apartment upstairs.
And then the designated.
Correct.
That's all I care. Right. But then if you extend the concrete past all, then put two more spaces. There's only one more space past that. So you might as well concrete that one too. Which comes back to somebody's original suggestion.
Yeah, you guys can figure that out afterwards.
Yes.
They've been successfully running this operation for 7 months, so many years.
They're
giving them a hard time about this. This is ridiculous.
Good.
They're improving the property. We should be blessing them for it. They're putting it into our zoning correctly, and you can't. Oh.
It's so rare that people come in with something that's. This is, so I agree with you, Mark.
Thank you.
It's fine to have a parking space.
I just want to make sure tenants aren't walking along the entire lot.
Just so I'm clear where we landed on this.
We're going to let you and Dave over there figure it out, not make the sale. And Dave over there going to figure it out. We'll be with Jackie later on.
Well, make the sale is part of it.
As a landlord, you have to make sure you satisfy your tenants. I'm sure if there's any problems there, they have to answer to their tenants and they'll take care of it. I don't know. You know, we're overthinking this thing.
Okay. It'll be fine. I think, based on everything behind me, we can work it out.
But you agree with me too?
Yeah.
I agree that there's nothing wrong with having a cement parking space for somebody somewhere.
With a corporate sign.
I do the exact same thing they do. I understand how it works. And No matter what side you put up or what pavement you put down or cement, somebody eventually is going to park there that's not supposed to.
Yes, but we can do our best. The problem is the planning board is to put together the best.
I agree.
Which is what we're trying to do.
I'm just trying to make sense of it all.
I agree.
Can I just ask a silly question? So will the addition of all this concrete affect your impervious coverage or create an issue with regard to runoff or flow?
We'll have to recap. I don't think it will. I think it will still be de minimis. It will be under the requirements We'll work with the engineer. We will have to revise the calculation.
I would suggest if it does affect it, that we pull back on the concrete issue for the tenant areas, just put signage there for concrete, the ADA pads, just to make it easily accessible for the ADA requirements. Just a suggestion to the...
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think that's what I was thinking for years. You know, it's just, I just want to make sure the fence taken care of.
And then, Mr. Chairman, one question on that. The only other thing I would say is, we proposed concrete because it's such a small area. If it ends up becoming a larger area, is it okay if we have the option for pavement or concrete? Just as the batch, I was thinking, we did concrete apron because it was such a small area. Will the applicant have the option?
I have no problem with that.
Why don't we leave that?
DEP issue, but I don't think so.
Why don't we leave that, Mr. Hoover's discretion?
You don't care exactly what we're...
Okay.
And why don't we just, can we just agree here to give them the extra variance we need if it is necessitated?
Well, no, if the storm would imagine will start coming in, then you start talking about recharge and underground basins and...
All right, well, that's...
We don't want to do that.
That's fine.
I think they came in with a great plan, but...
That's why it's easier to pull back on the concrete next time.
Let's not have us create something that needs...
I'm not trying to.
So then, Mr. Chairman, is it okay if I just quickly go through the letter and make sure that Mr. Hoover is satisfied and the building is satisfied?
You can start on page two.
Okay. So on page two, I'm...
We just went through that.
I'm going to start on section C, the technical review. I think we already went over the off-street parking. There's no variances proposed. We did show you two versions, an in-season and an off-season. It is a gravel lot. Keep the park where they fit, but when the boats are off the lot, there's plenty of room to park. Two ADA spaces are provided as required. Number two, as for testimony on the need for the loading dock, we did speak with the owner. He does need the loading dock. He utilizes the loading dock in his operations. And so he would like to have that one.
It's not a true loading dock, right? It's really a door.
Correct.
But it's a loading area. So, okay.
That's where the sidewalk is, where we're just talking.
Right.
And then as for the sidewalks, along the front of Ocean Avenue, the only reason we didn't show it is we were trying to get out of a lengthy highway occupancy permit, but is it okay to put a note on the plan saying that if there's anything found to be in disrepair that we would...
No, that's fine, yeah. I mean, my level of DOT jurisdiction is that the sidewalks are really under the jurisdiction of the town, and the curbs are under the jurisdiction of DOT.
I agree. We were going to have to apply, though, for an exemption, for a letter of no interest, unless you're not going to have us apply for a letter of no interest. I didn't want anything...
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, good. I didn't want anything to come to their attention and them asking for a permit when it was just to replace sidewalk. So a note on the plans is okay?
That's right.
Maintain the sidewalks? As for the outdoor lighting, we're not proposing any pole lighting, but lighting can be provided on the building. Sanitary sewers, we're happy to show the location of the existing sanitary sewer, which is number five. And then if any calculations are required, we're happy to provide those. Number six, as mentioned before, we don't trigger the major development rules. Number seven, trash and recycled. It doesn't generate a lot of trash, but we're happy to...
Well, I'm just raising the red flag with the possibility that it could be too small. I mean, marinas produce trash from the people that have boats there and recycle it.
So we will review the size of it again with the applicant, and if it needs to be slightly bigger, then we will. But right now, this area here is a typical refuse area. And we can modify it as needed, and we can work that out with the borough engineer, make sure he's satisfied with this.
There's plenty of room if they want to change something.
As for the landscaping, we didn't propose any trees. We did propose landscaping along the front of the building.
One comment, Mr. Chairman, is that if the board wants to put in street trees, rather than put in street trees, tree, they put maybe two in or something like that. You've done it on other applications.
Sort of
like the streetscape,
soften the building.
Yeah, or to just soften the boats and everything.
The only reason we didn't show the tree was only because of the movement of the boats and the
wind. Nobody along there has it except condominiums.
Right.
And I've had the conversation when we reviewed this letter with the applicant, and his preference was to not include trees, so we would request that
we not be need to.
Yeah, I think if you put a tree, you're going to have a boat hit the tree.
It just creates a little bit of a tight situation.
But maybe you could put some greenery in front of the building.
Yeah,
I'm sure they would anyway.
I think they want to.
Dress it up, yeah.
Dress it up.
As for the addition, we were just trying to give it a fresh coat of stone, but we're happy to increase the thickness of that stone to the satisfaction of the board engineer. B is just informational. Deck is proposed on the roof. We have no objection to providing calculations for performance guarantees or shop drawing. And then the last is just informational with the affordable housing requirements for Seabright. And then as for outside agency approvals, we agree to obtain this Freehold Soil Conservation District approval. As for CAFRA, we reviewed that with the board engineer. We do need a permit by rule, permit by rule number 7, in which states that if you're not enlarging the building footprint and that you're not moving it closer to the water, then CAFRA does not apply. We provided a copy of that permit by rule to the board engineer, and he said that he appears to agree that it does meet the permit by rule. So we do not believe CAFRA is required.
I agree. Yeah, we looked at it between when the plans came out and the last meeting.
And then we have no objection to getting fire department or floodplain official. Next slide.
My only comment, Mr. Chairman, on the additional stone is that they proposed a half inch of 3/8 stone, which is, I've always figured you got to go like double the size of the stone to make it even, so it doesn't look like it's all bare anyway.
Right.
You know, the thickness of the stone addition should be at least 2 times whatever your biggest piece of stone is. It's just an engineering thing that I'm always going to.
I think they already have that, but we'll need to do it
again. Yeah, it's a little bit more. Instead of a half inch, it's got to be, you know, 3/4 or an inch.
Thank you. Anyone on the board have questions of Ms. Ford?
No.
Anyone in the public have a question about the witness's testimony? Not public portion is closed. Thank you. Ms. Ford. Mr. Chairman, that is all I had intended to present this evening. Unless the board has any questions for the owner operator of the site.
Let me just ask Mark one question. You had a parking question before?
That was my parking question.
That was it?
That was it.
Just, oh, okay.
I want to be with the
tenants.
Okay. I'm here for the owner operator.
If there's
discussion from the board, is there anyone in the public that has a statement or any additional question about this application? Now the public portion is now closed.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to adopt the application, to approve the application with my condition as requested.
Your condition being that
there be 2 designated tent spaces. The way that is designated can be worked out with a voter, but it should be signage that makes it designated.
Agreed.
I'll second.
Move the roll call, please.
Devin's Bills?
Yes.
Jimmy Cunningham?
Yes.
Mr. Julio?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Osea?
Yes.
Ms. Warren?
Yes.
Councilman Lexter?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Schwartz?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Simon. Nice to see you again here.
Nice to see all of you.
Welcome back to Seabright.
How soon are you guys going to start?
How soon are you terrible?
Yeah, don't do it.
Thank you.
sir. Nice to see you again.
Back up here in sessions, my watch book. So, I have with me Adam Ryan, who is one of the owners of the squash club, but he also owns a joint property, and it's currently being used as storage for Angelicus, which is really the highest and most use of this property. But it's not a use that's permitted under the zoning ordinances of Seabright. So we are here with Andrew Stockton, my expert planner, and we'll have some brief testimony. And of course, I think I would like to call the owner, Adam Ryan.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Wolf. We just want to note for the record, however, that the notice has been reviewed. It is appropriate, so therefore the board does have jurisdiction. So please continue. Sir, can you raise your right hand? Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth for purpose of application?
I do.
Can you please state your name and address for the record?
I'm Michael Martin. I live at 19 Conduit Lane in Rumson.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Ryan, do you own the property that has a street address of 3 Redmond Court?
Yes.
When did you acquire that property?
About 2.5 years ago.
Now, do you also have an interest in the one squash club?
Yes.
And was it your intention when you acquired that property to perhaps at some point they use that for purposes of the club, whatever they may be?
If the club is successful, we would love to expand, join the properties, and hopefully build out the club additionally.
Okay. Now, you understand that this is a residential property, the property in question?
Yes.
That basically we're dealing with a small bungalow?
Yes.
Since you own it, have you had a tenant or an occupant in it?
No, it's been unchanged since Sandy.
So it has no parking requirements, is that correct?
That is correct.
And prior to the purchase, there was somebody living there?
Before Sandy, there was somebody living there, and that gave the owner 2 parking spots. Under the proposed use, it would require 0 parking spots.
Okay, now what is the, can you describe this building for me?
It's a small building, 1 floor, 2 rooms. It's a small shack or bungalow.
And what is the current use of it?
It is unoccupied. It holds dry goods for Angelica's restaurant.
Could you answer a quick question for me? Is it one building or two?
So there's a shed, which is...
That's what I want to clear out for the board.
Yeah, there's a wooden shed, which is not a permanent structure, and the permanent structure is a 2-room...
The red building.
Okay.
The red building?
Yes, correct. Okay.
And is the wooden shed also owned by you now?
Yes.
Okay, now does the squash club have some connection with Angelica's business connection?
Yeah, all friends of Angelica's, and we have a relationship regarding the easement of that alleyway to access the squash club.
And what do you propose to do in connection with your relationship with Angelica?
So they would pay me a nominal amount of rent to use the building for dry storage.
Okay, and so you're asking the board to grant you use variance because that use is not permitted in the zone, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, I have no further questions.
Board members have questions?
Yeah, who maintains that place back there?
I do. It requires very little maintenance because it's not used for anything.
The survey says there's concrete back there. I don't remember seeing any concrete. All I saw was garbage and junk all over the place. You got canisters back there. You got broken heat lamps. You've got propane tanks piled in a pile back there. Garbage all over the place. It looks like it's being occupied now by Angelica's, and nobody takes care of it. I think Angelica could find the money in their pocket to have somebody maintain and clean that dump up. It's a disgrace.
Was that a question? I don't believe it. I was there today.
Did anything ever physically change on the interior of the property since the time you owned it through Sandy?
No.
Okay. So after Sandy, although it was being used as a residential unit, you just abandoned the use because
Was it still occupiable? Was it habitable?
Post Sandy, it was never improved. It was never rehabilitated. So the condition that I purchased it in is the same condition it's in now.
Okay, which begs the question, is it still habitable?
Habitable? It would need a new floor. It would need some patching up. The structure is sound, but it would need work before anyone would live there in any way.
So there's nothing really preventing you from continuing the use as a residence, other than some work?
Other than some significant investment.
And would that investment still have to be put forth to properly utilize it as a warehouse space?
No. With the warehouse space, it wouldn't require electricity. It would simply be cans of tomato sauce, chairs, tables, very basic, you know, restaurant, dry storage items.
Did you allow Angelica to rent the property from you for this?
Yes.
Did anybody seek the zoning approval at the time that you entered into a rental agreement?
No.
Did you go for a tenant certificate of occupancy or a mercantile license?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
What about the storage of all those propane tanks?
That was my next question.
I would be happy to ensure that they maintain it properly.
I'm surprised zoning hasn't picked up. That's got to be a fire hazard.
Is it on the property?
Yeah, it must be trained.
It's like open back there.
The first time I went to the meters, like all over the place. I went there just before I came here. Yeah. They're all piled in one corner now.
Yeah.
But it's really disgusting back there.
So are those propane tanks being used now?
They're not being used back there, but they're being used up front from where it's cold.
Okay, that's not my question. They're being used.
Those heat lamps, I guess a lot of them have fallen over and decrepit and broken. They're all stacked back there. It's really a disgrace. I don't think it should be used commercially.
Good evening, Chairman. Do you need to swear?
No, you're a professional.
Good evening, for the record. I'm Christine Caffone. I'm the board's planner. So I have some thoughts on the storage as well. I know that the application is for warehousing, but really, as I understand it, it's just storage. They want to only store things. And I agree with you completely. The condition of the property is somewhat less than, I think, what we're looking to establish here in the borough. I also will tell the board, in my opinion, if you are going to approve this, this is a D variance, so you have every right to regulate if they are going to keep anything outside, where they're going to put it. And I think they need to show you on a plan, if they're going to have anything stored outside, you can regulate what and you can regulate where. This is a residential zone. You're asking the board to put a commercial use in a residential zone. So I think one of the things that we often do when we have a D variance is we impose reasonable conditions to ensure that the property does not look the way the borough does not want it to look, which I think, as you heard from the board members tonight, they definitely have some concerns. But with an use variance also comes opportunity to impose those conditions and sort of get them to come to a snapshot in time when you say, okay, you know, we'll allow you to use it for the interior and we'll allow you to store whatever you want in a certain location outside, which is to show us, and we're very concerned about what you're going to put there. We don't want broken material of any sort. We don't want any lamps. We don't want propane tanks. You have the ability to do that. And my other concern, or my really question, is when you say dry goods storage, are you talking about canned goods, or are you talking about something that could be like a bag of flour? Because a bag of flour could be dry, but you could have rodents perhaps get into it. So help me understand more specifically what you're talking about with respect to dry goods.
Nothing perishable, nothing permeable, nothing that would attract mice or rats or rodents.
I would recommend if the board is going to move favorably on this application that you condition it on that, because this again is a residential zone. Those are my questions.
Mr. Chairman, as to those propane tanks, they can't be stored inside as far as I understand.
They're not allowed
to be stored. Right, so there would have to be some kind of accommodation made to, if you're going to have any propane tanks in the back there, whether it's a fencing or a small concrete bin or something to keep them out of sight.
But the hazard of storing them back there
is huge.
Yeah.
Well, they should be removed when they're not being used, and they should bring fresh ones in.
What have I heard on the explosions of these tanks? For some reason,
it could happen. Yeah.
They don't have to have a permit to even store more than like one for a household or something like that.
No, I don't think so. I don't know about that, but I don't think
radical.
So.
But you do to store multiple propane tanks. They have to be in a cage. It's and then outside,
like Home Depot.
Unlike Home Depot, like anybody.
But wouldn't it be like a gas station that has to have a permit to do it also? Don't you have to have a...
Well, they have fire permits for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, fire permit, yeah.
Well, first thing I would want is our fire officer to inspect it. I mean, it's only right. There's multiple residents right behind it, and multiple residents above all the buildings, and there has been fires back there. That's one condition I would want.
And that main court that's next door, the apartments, do you have anything to do with the ownership of that place?
No, we're all friends back there. We try to navigate the parking lot as best as we can.
Because somebody told me it was for sale. If it's for sale, they might be ripping it down and want to build some nice houses back there. Possibly, with the demand we have in Seabury for housing. How's this going to affect changing this to commercial?
I don't envision that changing our intentions. If the existing apartments were to be demolished and perhaps the other vacant building next to it demolished and improved, I think that would improve the whole area. And the benefit I would mention to Mark and to everybody is that this removes the need for two parking spots. If this was a residential unit, there'd be spot one, spot two, and nobody can park behind them. Now they're stacked parking, so those two spots are actually two, four, or six parking spots. So if this is a storage...
Who are those parking spots for there?
It's a large storage...
Good question.
But it's for...
I have no idea. Yeah. I went back there today, I rode my bike there so I can understand this application.
Yeah.
And there was just cars all over the place.
So the lot is for the collective use of the tenants of Badminton Court and the members of the squash club. So it's collective use, no lines are permitted, it's only an open lot.
Have we made from some?
Since 1893, I believe, is what it goes back to.
And how are the materials getting to Angelica's? Walking it through the squash area and it comes up the back alley?
By hand through the alleyway. So there's two alleyways on each side of the Angelica's,
yeah.
And one behind.
Yeah.
It will come through those alleyways to come to the back by hand.
The alleyway is owned by the squash club.
Do you know who owns the alleyway?
I don't understand.
The alleyway, the property, is owned by Angelica's, or whatever entity owns Angelica's.
Which alleyway?
The alleyway where there's outdoor dining.
That
alleyway.
We're talking about the direction that the items that are dry stored go to Angelica's building.
It doesn't even look like Angelica's.
The alleyway goes, where the buildings are, he has to walk up an alleyway behind the squash club, and then make a right turn and go along the squash club. Who owns the alleyway along the squash club?
So it's used for garbage storage for Seabright Pizzeria and Angelica. So their garbage cans are stacked there. I don't know who has ownership.
Okay.
Lance, it looked like the access to that alleyway was actually next to the Thai restaurant, not connected to the back of the Angelica's. They have to go down the alleyway of the Thai restaurant to access. I walked through the whole thing. You go behind Angelica's, it's not access. It's filled, like you said, with garbage cans.
We really can't get permission for them to walk anywhere except on privately owned property that you own.
Or there. Angelica's uses the alleyway behind Angelica's before you get to the squash room.
Right.
So there's an alleyway that's parallel to Ocean Avenue behind Angelica's, and Angelica's uses, and I believe owns that alleyway that has their garbage cans in. So they would use their alleyway that they're currently using to get to 3 Badminton Court for storage.
And that's still continuing.
And they have a lease to use that, or what? How does this work? It's free for all.
That's what Badminton Court has been for over 100 years.
Well, that's not Badminton Court, they're off Ocean Avenue.
Yeah.
You're asking them, the board to make a decision on free-for-all, but we have a hard time doing that. I'm trying to let you understand.
And I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah.
The second alleyway without the outdoor dining is only the public alleyway. There's a couple of picnic tables, and that seems to be the open space that people seem to use as well for Angelica's.
the second alleyway.
So on the south side of Vandelic, there's the outdoor dining.
I'm going to suggest this, and the board members, please discuss equipment. I'm going to suggest we have a real legit set of plans of how everything's supposed to work. Another good look at the buildings to make sure they're safe to do this, to see what we're going to do with the, I'm not trying to slow down the Angelicas, but they might need a little slowing down on them. We need to know what's going on for us to give you permission to variance to do this. And we need to know some positive criteria, some negative criteria. I'm sure you were eventually going to get to that.
We do have Mr. Stockton.
Mr. Stockton,
I think we need more a really solid plan before we even get to that. There's no reason to go over all that until we have that plan.
So, Mr. Chairman, if I understand, I can help. You want to see a plan that shows the building that we talk about, which is the small plan that we want to see, the squash courts, the aisles on either side, Angelicas, and those walkways too.
I also,
and, you know, they can be boxes, but we have to show flow and show where you're storing trash cans, that kind of stuff, so we know if people can get around.
I think that's what we're talking about. I'd also like to know if you're proposing any interior renovations to this place.
We are not proposing that.
Okay.
Or any exterior maintenance.
I don't believe any is needed, but if there's anything that the fire marshal or the council sees fit.
We may want to talk to the fire marshal between now and
I think we need to see
the fire marshal has been there
before we rule on any.
Right. And then find out whether or not you need to store those propane tanks in a certain way. And how many, you know, maybe there's a maximum, because you know, they should be picked up and taken away so that they're not there half full or quarter full or just a little bit in the bottom.
That will become the biggest issue, just so you know.
You need to show, too, on your plan, if you're going to be doing a plan, you need to show where you're going to put the storage outside, where the propane tanks are going to go, how they're going to be accessed, so the board can understand how all that's going to work operationally.
Okay.
I think that's what they're trying to wrap their mind around is, okay, show us how this is all going to work and how you're going to access the storage and how this is all going to function on the site.
Do you have any intention of improving this property or just going to leave it as is? Does it even qualify for a CO operation to use?
I think it has to. It doesn't have to be residential to need a CO.
No, you need to have a CO to use it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's why I just asked. You have a CO to even use this property. It doesn't look like it's
safe. It was never improved since Sandy. Never got a CO.
I'd like to see things improved in Seabright, not extend their use as a dump.
I'll second
that. It's a tough one.
I understand.
For us.
I understand.
We've worked long and hard since Sandy.
So if it needs a CO for a residential, it would be residential?
Certainly.
Okay, so then everything would have to work in there.
Right. Well, I'm sure a CFO for storage unit is different than a residential.
So we would be.
So we have to leave that up to Tom Hagee, who is our officer that does that.
And he said he's been there?
Tom has been there.
He said nothing of the propane?
No.
He is the fire inspector, too. I think we need a report from him for this board.
He might have just been looking at the property versus where the propane. I don't even know if the propane tank is technically on.
Well, they're probably on Ocean Avenue when he was back there.
So I would say openly that Angelica's, their items, their property, their chattel, is spread over a few properties.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of leakage out there.
Yeah.
So that's just.
It's a little complicated.
Leakage.
I'm not prepared to vote on anything tonight myself.
No, I would also
like not a possible vote in any agreement.
And we talked about the flow of material going in and out. If there's any commercial vehicle going down Badminton to put stuff into, that should just be known.
I understand.
Yeah. Is that Badminton Lane that goes to it?
Badminton, yes.
Court?
Yeah, that's right. So
what's the one behind it?
The store is called Packer Lane.
And Badminton just opens up the narrow little strip that opens up into the, like, the wide.
Right, I was there today, I get the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't see another.
The entrance is closer to Jimmy Adams Park, and he's got that parking back there too.
That's called Packer Lane, that's the Packer.
Oh, that one?
Does Packer Lane actually reach this location? I think it stops.
There's a fence.
And I still think that there's no direct access to behind Angelica's to this property. They have to go next to the tire.
No, they cross multiple properties.
Yeah, but I tried walking through, I couldn't get through.
Excuse me, sir, did you say that the walkway along the racket club belongs to the racket club or no?
No.
It does not.
Well,
your building goes to the property line, doesn't it? As I remember.
Yes, there's two sides. We have a fire escape. Underneath that fire escape, we do own that space. The one that's parallel to Ocean Avenue with all the garbage cans for Seabright Pizzeria and Angelica's, we do not own.
Okay. And that probably changes property to property to property.
And that's right. And Angelica's and...
I'm not saying that's a problem, but it's keeping everybody in business.
And that's the garbage cans, that's the all these assets.
There were many years of complaints about where all the garbage was going, and I understand it. But we have to clarify everything for this board.
Understood.
To make a decision.
Maybe it's about time. Let's clarify all of that right there.
Well, I think that's what I was asking for, was to know if this is going to be a walkway for propane tanks to leave Angelica's as the weather warms or gets cold and goes back. That's something that we've heard from the fire inspector. This board has to do that. And we also have to know whose property it is. And we need that on a plan.
Understand. And maybe our expert witness has some of those answers.
He's done that?
In terms of the ownership of the alleyways, I haven't explored that. But I took notes.
Let's not take any testimony from the expert.
And I don't mean to not take testimony and to slow this down. I'd be happy to make a decision if everything was here before us. But there's a lot of questions about this.
I appreciate that, and I can't deserve it.
Wonder in stores like that, you even need sprinkler systems or anything like that? I mean, is somebody...
Well, we're talking about chairs and tables, right? I
saw linens in there and other junk in there, too.
Without electricity. So, again, we can look into this, but I have trouble envisioning a fire breaking out of a dry storage unit without electricity.
Well, I'm not talking about whether it would happen, whether it's a requirement.
So once again, if you go really move forward with this, you know, the property can't just stay as is. You're still going to have to get a tenant certificate of occupancy for a commercial unit, which means somebody's going to have to address the things that don't work.
For a commercial unit for storage.
Correct. So you're still going to need electric. Just want to let you know that.
Now, I have a shed that does not require electric.
I'm talking about the
building.
I understand that.
Okay, sheds are a different issue, and yes, you can clear a store in there, but that's
as long as
we need our professionals.
The shed is a shed if you're using it as a shed.
Right.
If you're using it as a storage shed, you know, I think the
commercial.
Right, correct.
If this applicant gets an approval from this board, then they go to the building inspector. The building inspector will do some inspections and decide what's needed. And you may very well have to do certain improvements, including electricity and lighting and whatever else for health and safety.
But I think until the board...
I don't disagree with that, but I don't have enough information to give you.
And I was just going to say, until the board can actually see what's on the plans, what the flow is, the buildings that are being utilized, how they're being prepared, what their intention is to
I'm not against it. You're doing it. As long as it's safe, and it's, obviously it's already a D-variance. It doesn't meet the zoning. So we have all the rights in the world to be nervous and want it to be safe for our residents. More than anything.
I appreciate that.
Whoever's going to be doing the plan, whether it's Andrew or somebody else, ask them to call me, and I'll help coach you through.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The fact
thank
that
you guys for coming in.
Sure. Are we going to adjourn the application, Mr. Wolf, for the date for you, so you don't have to re-notice?
re-carry it?
Re-carry, move to the adjournment, yes. No notes.
Ken, do you have any dates coming up that perhaps could come in?
Christine, do they have to meet any setback requirements?
Mr. Wolf, is September 28th too early for you, or do you think you should be able to accomplish it by the date?
If we did for the storage, we might, for the outdoor storage. Mr. Sale, it's a use variance, so we need the vote to be subsumed.
Would the end of October be better?
I think that would be better.
I think so too. Okay, what day should we have in October?
Yeah.
Yeah, 30 days a little tight for this type of plan. Just one moment, please.
So all I know is, Mr. Sale asked me a question, there will be any bulk setbacks. Because it's a D variance, I believe the bulks would be subsumed into this.
Into the D, yes.
While there may not be any bulks specifically applicable, the board should be able to see where the outdoor storage is so that you can understand, while we don't have a set of bulk requirements that are applicable to this because it's D variance, we should be able to understand the setbacks of the outdoor storage and how things are going to function. Right. So that's what we need to see on the plan. We need to see, Mr. Stockton has done many plans in the day. He understands how to demonstrate how outdoor.
We need a real plan.
Yeah, we need a plan. What
date is available?
October 26th is the second meeting in October.
Mr. Wolf, will that give you appropriate time, October 26th?
Yes, that's fine.
Mr. Chair, may I ask?
Yes.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, anyone a member of the public who is present, the matter is currently adjourned to the October 26th, 2021 meeting at 7:30 p.m. Please, given the light of COVID circumstances, while we do intend to go live, we encourage everyone to check the website to make sure circumstances have not changed. Thank you very much, and we look forward to your continued presentation.
Thank you all.
Is there any other business before board this evening? Our next meeting is September 14th. Looking forward to seeing you all there.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to close?
I'll
make
it.
Adjourned. Is it for you?
I'll second the first meeting.
Is it meeting?
I'm going to try to get out.